Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Go ahead and get us recording before I forget. I'd hate to go through all of this and not record it. That'd be as bad as me with Sarah Hamilton after we'd recorded the whole thing and somehow I deleted it.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't retrieve it. I don't know what happened to it. Never had that happen before. That was awful. Oh, you know what, Terry? Let me real quick. So I am behind because in the sense of just getting your email, asking for the link. Today's recordings were at noon and one, and normally up for this past year and a half, we've done one and two. And so I was sitting down at one or at noon going, oh, I have an hour to just, you know, do stuff and get everything ready. And I got a text and it was like, are you coming on? So I don't have your questions printed up. That's where I'm going at. I'm getting ready to print them up. I'm so sorry. I'm a little behind. They wouldn't let you print
them. Or is there anything, Terry, that you have on your heart that you want to share with people? We don't have to stick totally to the questions either. If there's something that the Lord's been showing you or you want to pass on.
Oh, yeah. These questions are just
general.
Yeah. Just to kind of make sure, you know, we talk about
something to talk about.
Yeah.
Go out to what general population does this go out to?
Go ahead, Linda.
This goes to leaders.
Leaders.
People that are doing group. Yeah. Or okay. In some sort of abortion recovery ministry.
Because I'm always looking for helpline coaches is why I ask.
Well, we could put a plug in.
This would be, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We could do that. How many do you have right now?
With texting, we're close to 20.
Wow.
21. Great. Yeah. I still don't quite have three on each day. And that's still my goal. So.
How close are you to that?
Well, you've got 20, so
four.
Well, some of those
I need four more. Yeah. Some of those are the texting group.
Okay. So they do that separately.
Uh-huh. So I think four more. Good question, Mindy, because I really hadn't counted.
That's not much. Well, we're just going to keep all this on because you wanted to do a plug for the H3 helpline and we just sat there and talked about it. So I'm going to leave all this on and we're just going to get started with our talk today. So, Terry Baxter is with us, and she is the, how do you title yourself, actually? Oh,
Director
you didn't
H3
come through.
Helpline.
Okay, say that one more
it
time.
Didn't come through?
Uh-uh.
Director of H3 Helpline.
Yeah, okay. That was better. It just completely cut out. So Terry, this will be fun because I've never heard your story, and I don't want you to, you know, spend a lot of time, but tell us a little bit about your story because how you know, why you're doing this, the background of that, and just, you know, the road that got you here.
Well, I'm not unusual. The first part of my story, it's pretty similar to about 50% or more of the ladies that we talked to. I had my abortions in college. I had multiple abortions, and I ended up marrying the man that I had the abortions with, and we were able to have two children. So, but we never, ever spoke of the abortions after we had each one of them. Once it was done, it was done. And had no clue, you know, that you grieve or anything that you do now. So after I was pregnant with my second child was when I saw my first ultrasound. And so when I saw that, that's when the emotions and feelings started bubbling up. I was born in a Christian home. I was accepted Jesus when I was in about fifth grade. So I went back and forth and justified the lies like you hear commonly that if it's legal, it must be okay, or we can keep it a secret, or we don't want to embarrass the family. So there were similar lies that I just justified and thought, well, maybe it's not wrong. But of course, it did subconsciously bother me until I saw that ultrasound, and then consciously the emotions started bubbling up. And I knew I was forgiven, but that's all I knew to do with it. And it was, oh, I went through a divorce and remarried about 3 or 4 years later. And we started back in church. That divorce broke me. And I recommitted my life and to the Lord. And so later, as I've learned through my journey, the divorce broke me so hurt so bad because I thought that was worse than a bout of cancer that I had. But I didn't realize that in that divorce was I was grieving for those abortions, not only the loss of the marriage, but the loss of life and the loss of dreams and things like that. So I came to learn that that was really what was going on when we divorced. And so as I remarried and we were in church, one Sunday I was there and the pastor was preaching, I think on obedience. And so he never opens up the congregation, but that Sunday he let people give their testimonies. And I'm sitting there kind of prideful, thinking again, just thinking that I had gone through cancer and made it through, and that was great. I had re committed my life. I'd seen my children and husband baptized. I was just going through this list of, it's a great, great year, and I've done this and done that and surrendered. And about that time, a young lady across the congregation stood up and said, "I'd like to ask the church to forgive me of abortion." And of course, I just went slumped, and I thought, "Oh no, do I have to go there? Is it time to go there?" And yes, it was time. But and I argue a lot with the Lord when he asked me to do something. And so the pastor just said, "Well, maybe if you need to come up and pray." And I thought, "Okay, Lord, I'll grab somebody. Nobody but my husband knew. I'll grab somebody and we'll go pray. That's my step of obedience. That's all he's asking me to do." So we went and prayed. And she said, "Terry, you need to tell a pastor." And I said, "No, I don't." And she said, Yeah, you do." And so we told a pastor, and he said, "Do you need to give your testimony? You could be helping somebody out in the congregation." And
Oh,
of course, I
gosh.
said, "No, I don't. No, I don't." He said, "Well, what if you could help one woman?" And I finally said, "Well, maybe." And so about that time, the senior pastor stopped the service and said we'd start again that evening, and that I would be the first testimony that evening to tell my story. But that was the grace of God, because I would have, who knows what, traumatized my two children sitting in the congregation if I had stood up and told my testimony and they did not know it. So God gave me the afternoon to talk to them and to prepare them for that testimony I was going to give that night. And each step of the way, God has led me. So my testimony that night was short and sweet. It was, Lord, everybody has a skeleton in their closet, and mine is the sin of abortion. And I knew I was forgiven, but I wanted to surrender at the foot of the cross publicly and let him use it if he will. And the pastor said, "Ladies, come pray." And it felt like the whole church came and prayed over me. I could see the pastor, I could see wife, I could see some deacons and things, but physically the weight was lifted off. I could actually feel the weight lifted off. But nothing happened, nothing miraculously as far as starting a ministry, knowing what a ministry was for after abortion. And the church decided to start a pregnancy center about 2 years later. And I was on the task force to do that and learned a lot. We'd visit pregnancy centers and ultimately became the founding director of the pregnancy center in Denver, Colorado. And I was a director for 10 years, and I was naive director for 10 years. I thought we'd just pass out diapers and do pregnancy test and maybe share little Jesus. And little did I know the hurts and the baggage that the volunteers were bringing to the pregnancy center. And it broke my heart because they were telling the women in a crisis pregnancy that they could trust Jesus with their present and their future, but they had not trusted him with their past. And they were still clinging to that past. And I knew the freedom that I had. And that's when I really started zeroing in on how do we help these women that are hurting so they can serve and minister in freedom and restoration. And I was doing a Forgiven and Set Free Bible study at our pregnancy center. I knew enough to that I had done that and offered it, but it just seemed like there needed to be more. And about 8 years into being a director, I met Millie Lace, who had a national international helpline for after abortion. And it just seemed like that was where my niche was, and I was being called to do that. It was virtual. I could answer the phone, I could direct, and I'm a networker anyway. So networking young women hurting to resources all over the United States was right down my alley and in my gifting. So that's where I got my training. I went to that helpline and worked for 9 years. They trained me, they encouraged me. And then I decided it was time to pass the baton. I was not passing the baton to start another helpline. I was just taking a break. I didn't know what the next step was. So a year
Surprise,
later,
surprise.
yes, a year later, Mary Lee Mason and I, Mary Lee's the president of New Heart of Texas, were talking, and I met her on the other helpline, and we became friends and mentors, just throwing ideas off of each other. And she said, "Terry, we need a good after abortion helpline, and I think you ought to start one." And now you ladies know what I said. I said, "No, I don't think so." And here I am in our sixth year of H3 Helpline. And H3 stands for Help, Hope, and Healing. And that's our mission statement, Help, Hope, and Healing for those who have suffered from the trauma of abortion. And that has been my passion for the last 15, 20 years, is to reach the church women, reach the woman that just took the chemical abortion pills, anyone who is hurting, we want to find them resources to recover and walk through that grieving and be restored.
That's awesome. Now tell us real quick, how many calls or text, because you take calls and texts. How many did you take last year?
Well, let me say the year before 2022, we took about 1,700 all year. And then in 2023, we took over 2,500. So we're growing and the need is growing. We're tracking right now at that 2,500 level. There hadn't been a big jump right now, but that's text and calls. And
Text
we're
and
able
calls.
to get their email. Our protocol is to get their email so we can email them resources in their local area. We'll get their zip code. And we'd like to give them a weekend retreat or a face-to-face group or a virtual group. We like to give them options if we can find enough options in their area to pick from. And they know their lifestyle. And we know, again, we like to give them the email because if they write it on a piece of paper that night or that day when we're talking to them, they're going to lose that piece of paper. And then once they tell their story on the phone, they feel better the next day and don't think they need it. But they
That's so
will be
true.
triggered and they can remember they had that email. And then a few days later, we'll call them with their permission and see how they're doing. See if they got the email, see if they took the next step to call resources and really encourage them to take that next step of healing.
What exactly are the helpline coaches doing when they're taking a call?
They are on a 24-hour schedule, and so there's usually three ladies answering the phone each 24-hour period. It's a round robin, so nobody's just sitting there having to wait on the phone. It's virtual. That's my favorite thing. We can work while we're traveling. We can work while we're eating out. We just step away from the people and take a call. So it's really a flexible ministry, but yet an impactful ministry. And so they are listening to the callers' stories. Majority of them are calling crying. They more and more. We used to get the normal was women who had had abortions 10, 15 years ago, and we still get those. But the number of calls and texts that we get from the women who have just taken the chemical abortion has increased and just been a nightmare for them and us because they're panicking. They had no idea what it was going to look like, what it was going to feel like. You know, they just are in a traumatic state.
Well, okay. And so when the what is the helpline coach? What is her role? I mean, I want you to explain that just a little bit, because if there's anybody listening that's in abortion recovery ministry that wants to call you and is more interested, I'd just like them to kind of understand what you're doing, because maybe they're feeling a nudge of God right now to contact you and become a helpline coach. So I just want them to have an idea of what they do, what you're training them to do.
That would be great. The training is virtual. We train and then I walk with them after each call. So in the during a call, as I started to say, they're listening to the stories, they're empathizing. All of our helpline coaches do have an abortion healing story. That's one of the qualifications that they have to have a story. If they don't have a healing story and they haven't experienced abortion, we don't want to leave them out. Our texters is where we place those that have not had an abortion. And in texting, they can offer a hurting woman, do you want to keep texting or do you want to need to talk to somebody that's experienced it? But they're learning to have the empathy, they're learning to listen, and then they're learning to see what they're needs are so we can find those resources. We listen to see if they have any spiritual beliefs. We try to ask them if they have spiritual beliefs. And if they do, with their permission, we start openly talking more about a relationship with Jesus. And then the only other thing after the phone call that is required of the helpline is to place those notes in a service that we use, a program that we use. And so they're on 24 one day a week. And again, they're on with the same team, two other ladies each week, and they just keep in touch with each other. It's really pretty flexible. If they have a doctor's appointment, they just text their teammates and they step off for an hour and get back on. If they're taking a vacation, you know, we help fill in that so they don't feel like they can't take a vacation. But I ask them or tell them they can live their life, but be prepared to focus when that phone rings. And so
So you're
it
really
is
just
really
doing
helpful.
triage. You really
We
aren't
are.
doing deep counseling. You just can't in one initial phone call. You're establishing rapport and figuring out what her needs are. And there are, have you seen an explosion in resources out there available? It seems like the whole abortion recovery thing, that there's all these new groups and new ministries springing up. So you do have good resources to refer her to.
That's exciting. And that's true, Linda. We are 911 for after abortion help. We
Right.
also, before I go to the second part of that question, we also have our little cards, information cards that we pass out in the ultrasound room. And the pregnancy centers taught us this, that if a woman goes in wanting an ultrasound and is abortion determined, if she's still abortion determined after the ultrasound, they'll give them our card, tell them we're 24/7 with any questions that they may have, and the women have experienced abortion, so they can answer. And so then our women are able to give them their three options, slow them down, ask them, why they feel abortion's their only choice, and then try to send them back to that pregnancy center and encourage them, to get an ultrasound and make sure, see how far along they are. So that's another part of what we do. And the exciting part is, yes, in the, I don't know, last few years, it seems like standalone abortion recovery ministries are popping up, and I love it. I know when I first started answering the phones, and that's why part of my passion there, if there was nothing in their area, there was nothing in their area. And there wasn't Zoom. I do know I did Skype with a woman in Germany who was determined to go through something she wanted, and she was dedicated, and we went through Forgiven and Set Free. So I never want to turn anybody away. We get creative if we have to find resources. But with the virtual, more and more, we were virtual before COVID was cool, but now, and virtual was cool, but it's exciting to know that the women do have no excuses not to find some resources. And we don't have a database, but we have a state page on our website under resources. So if they don't want to talk to anybody, they can click on that state page, and we'll have about, oh, 5 to 10 resources in their state that they can call. And those are the resources that we probably have a really good relationship with. I know that they're going to answer the phone. They're going to return the phone calls, and I don't have to worry about a ministry that maybe only get one lady a year, or they think they don't get anybody a year in the pregnancy center. So we really try to partner with those new ministries, like you said, that are popping up.
That are active. And so, just for anybody listening, if you're not on Terry's state page, but you are actively answering a phone call or an email, or you're getting in touch with these ladies within 24 hours of them contacting your center, they would qualify for your state page, correct?
Correct. It
Okay.
doesn't matter if it's in the pregnancy center or a standalone. In fact, I really encourage the pregnancy centers to find a standalone ministry, because they're so busy with the unplanned pregnancies and the ultrasounds. Why not let those that have the passion to help with abortion recovery do the great job that they do and refer their hurting people to the abortion recovery groups and retreats.
Yep. And like I say to people, like the pregnancy center is like the offensive team on the football team, and the abortion recovery is the defensive team, and we have to play together very well in order for us to win the game. And offense can't play defense, and defense can't play offense. And so when you're kind of mixing your, I don't know what to call that. You're doing too much.
Right. You're spreading yourself thin, is
Yes.
what I say. And
Yes.
let us send the unplanned pregnancies to them with the ultrasounds, and they can send those hurting from the trauma of abortion to the ministries that we know.
Yeah.
I'm
Go ahead.
curious, Terry, where did the women come from? Do you do a lot of social media? I mean, it's a different world than when I was a pregnancy center director. And how are you reaching out, and how are they finding your hotline?
Our number one is Google. We spend,
Okay.
we work with an SEO company, and that's where we put most of our money, because that's where we're, and they're mostly younger women that don't know anything about a pregnancy center. They may have been in church, they probably aren't in church or hurt by the church. And so they are thanking us that they found us on Google, and they did not know anything like that was out there. Of course, I try to get our cards into the pregnancy center and anybody that wants them to the sidewalk advocates or any different ministry like that, to, if they have a chance to pass it out, the people can call 24/7. And by people, men call too. And so it's men and women. And we do have men helpline coaches that will talk to our men.
That's good. And, you know, I give out your cards and your brochures to everyone who's completed a group. Not that they are going to need that any longer, but now they have something to give to somebody if they run across someone. So I like to give your cards out. So I want to talk to
Thank
you a
you.
little bit, Terry. I want you to tell us, really, I'm just asking the question. Can you tell us about the trends that you're seeing? What are the things that you're seeing now that we'd never seen before? The past few years.
So it is. I've mentioned the chemical abortion, and I'd say 5 or 6 years ago, we would have someone call. Maybe they had their chemical abortion, taking the RU486 pills to have the medical abortion in their bathroom, and they would call, and it started, and it was trauma. Traumatic on us as helpline coaches, even 5 years ago, because we had never heard the cries and the grief that these women were talking about. And so the trend that I've seen, it has increased. And instead of maybe once or twice a year, it's 3 to 4 times a week that we get a call from somebody that's taken the pills. They either have a medical problem where they're hurting or bleeding, or don't know what to do. And those we do send to the doctor or the ER because we are not medical. Or when the ones that call emotionally, one of our hardest calls is when they call and they say, I'm holding the baby in my hand. They told me it was a blob of tissue and I don't know what to do with it. They told me to flush it down the commode and I can't flush it. And so those are traumatic on the person that took the pills and the secondary trauma on the helpline coaches. And we're seeing more and more. They'll call us. I personally have gotten a call, a text actually, where somebody was texting. She'd already taken her second set of pills and she was waiting to pass the baby, but she just wanted somebody available so she wasn't alone. And she was just texting me. And at this point, all I could do is say, you tell her what she was about to happen emotionally, where she would be grieving. We could offer her resources. We're here, you know, on this text line, as long as she needs us. I will input that if somebody calls and they've only taken their first set of pills, we will refer them to the abortion recovery, I mean, abortion
Reversal.
reversible number. And if they have any kind of medical question and they still have only taken one pill, we'll still refer them. We'll let them know it's a reversal number. We know that they're not interested, but that they have nurses 24/7 that can answer their questions. So we give that number out as often as we can. And then there's the trend on abortion recovery groups. The majority are used to women coming 2 years afterwards where they've grieved a little bit. But the trend now that we're still not, I don't think we're still equipped for and ready for, is them calling the day they have their abortion or the day that they are calling, crying, and I hurt, I want help now. What can we do now? And so traditionally, groups would say they need to be 6 months or a year out. Well, we can't wait that long when they're in that much pain. We've got to figure out how to minister to these women. And then they may go later to the traditional group or we can retreat and go through it again. I tell them it's not unusual to go through it twice because if they go through it twice, they'll go through a chapter and they'll confirm that there's a dog barking. Can you hear
No.
that? I am so sorry.
I can't
And
hear.
anyway, good. And I'll encourage her that maybe she goes through the anger and she's already worked through the anger. Well, that's just reaffirming that she's on the road to recovery. But in that group, she may at 3 weeks later hit forgiveness and she hadn't. That one hurts. It's like you took the Band-Aid off. But then she's ready to go through that layer of healing. And so it's not unusual for me to suggest that they go through it twice from a different perspective of time and healing.
Terry, I want to ask you a question. This is a little on the spot, so forgive me. Linda and I were just having this conversation this weekend. We traveled to a Christian Women's Expo to put up a booth, and it turned out to be a really pretty good thing that we did. It was interesting for sure. But the question that we were discussing was, where do we draw, where are we crossing the line? Because there are some people I know, maybe not listening, but I know there are some that would say, you know, are you enabling them? Are you helping? I mean, I think I know the answer to that, but I know that I think we're going to start potentially hearing more of these objections coming. You know, like you and you were texting with the lady who was like, she'd just taken her second pill. She just wanted someone to talk to. And I think maybe, Terry, we had that conversation at that time because I remember that happening. Are we drawing a line? How are we drawing a line? Or if not, what are we doing? What is our mentality? What should our mentality be? Our heart be?
When you say enabling, clarify for me, is that enabling them or encouraging them to have go forward with the abortion, or just enabling them that yes, it's okay that you had the abortion and we're there or we're agreeing with them?
I think it could be either. I think anybody who's not in this or that is maybe starting, you know, as this starts to become more and more prevalent and people become, we bring in a bigger group of people that don't know, you know. And well, we don't know a lot of things when we come into pro-life. There's a lot of things that we have to learn how to say, how to think, you know. But what would you say to that person who is maybe even listening, who's an abortion recovery worker that says, you know what, I don't know, that's, I think that's a little too close to the line there, you know?
Well, and I had a crisis of belief when I t was texting with that woman because it was like, did I cross the line of enabling her to have an abortion, which I would never want to do that, totally against, abortion and stand and train that. And so I really had to go in prayer. And what the Lord showed me was she was already too far gone. I was not enabling. I was not encouraging. I was just there in the moment and preparing her for what her journey is about to be emotionally. It's going to be hard. She has a choice of healing or she can put the band-aids on it. And I just honestly laid out what the future looked like. Now, in recovery groups, in our helpline, we do not enable. They would like us to enable where they can pick up the phone and call us anytime they want. And we're their counselor, and we let them know we are not counselors. And so, just like we said earlier, we are short term, we are the 911. And as long as they are taking a step, maybe that first time they call, they don't even know if there's resources, and it's the first time they heard about resources, and they said, let me think about it. And then they call back and they want the resources. Well, that's fine, and we'll get those resources right to them. But if they called the third time, we're going to ask them, did they receive the email? Did they call? We're encouraging them to go forward each step. And just like, and that's what a coach does, is what's your next step? What's the next plan? If they call and say, I want to think about it, and then they call again, and we do have those that call and manipulate us a little bit. And just want to talk to us. And they say, no, I don't want it yet. I feel better. And they call again and again. And we just flat out have to draw that line in the sand and say, we cannot continue taking your calls. This is not helping you. You're not getting better. You're just, for the moment, we want to help you heal for the long haul and not just for the moment. Is that
Right.
something like you were thinking?
Yes, I was. And Linda, chime in if you want to, because I know you and I had some time talking about this weekend. But
One of the images that has stuck in my mind in this area is in Japan. Of course, abortion is very acceptable, and they have places in their temples where they can go and light a candle. And at the convention where Mindy and I were this last weekend, I had a young lady who came up to me who is running an underground railway that she's taking women for abortions to other states. And her question was, can you be a resource for us? Because I know they're hurting afterwards, which is just, totally mind blowing. Why are you doing this if you know they're going to be hurting? But yeah, that line of, because we're offering healing, that there is healing when you have your abortion. I mean, even like you were saying, Terry, where the pregnancy centers, as they leave the center and they're still abortion minded, we're saying, we're here for you. We're here for you. We don't agree with what you're doing. That's the fine line right there, I think, is how to, even before the fact, let them know. And I think it legitimately makes them stop and think, even on the front end, that, wait a minute, this is going to hurt. There's going to be, counseling needed, So I think that's a positive, because it makes them stop and think. But again, that fine line of not putting any kind of stamp of approval on it, and never losing the aspect of repentance as we go through the healing.
Right,
I think where
exactly.
we do fit in, because we'll train never, they'll call wanting us to justify, what they've just done, and we won't ever justify. We'll validate their feelings and talk to them about this is some of the consequences. This is something that could happen afterwards. But and if they call us, and they're pregnant, like you just mentioned, we'll go through the options and validate that once they got pregnant, we take them back to the getting pregnant, their world changed forever. They can't go back. It's not the abortion necessarily, it's their choice to get pregnant. And so we will explain to them that the three choices they have are very hard. There is no easy answer that's going to change their life forever. And we'll ask them why they feel abortion is their only option, so we can kind of have something to grasp to address, as we're giving them their options. I tell them about parenting and adoption, and I wait for abortion to be last, because then I can be honest with them, which Planned Parenthood has not been honest with any of them, and they don't understand why. They're just finding out these things now, but I will tell them that abortion is actually the hardest choice that they're going to choose. It never goes away. They never forget it. I'll prepare them for what's, the feelings, emotions, the triggers, the things that are going to happen, the what ifs, and the regrets that, and we actually have phone calls that we can refer to and say every day, this is what we hear. The hardest thing is this generation is used to changing their mind, doing what they want. And once you have an abortion, there's no change in your mind. And they don't understand that. They can't, and they'll cry and say, I wished I had not done it. And there's no answer for that one. But to prepare them, the truth, and even Planned Parenthood has passed our number out because they don't want to deal with it.
You said, or Linda actually rightly said, you guys are triage. And I've heard someone else say that, for us in abortion recovery ministry, we are not an emergent urgent care. We are, long term. We have normal hours. We're not 24/7. But there's a gap. And you've talked about it. It's those women that are coming fresh from their abortion experience, whether they're just going through it, or it was the day before, 2 days before, 2 months before, and they're raw. And right now, there isn't anybody filling that gap sufficiently yet. I think we're all considering it as we all think about it. But, we
What are their
see.
needs at that point?
Think Mindy just said the right word, sufficiently meeting those needs. When they're in that deep trauma, it's just sitting with them, acknowledging it, and start walking through the grief cycle and let them know. And we do not hide it. We are faith-based. We believe the only true way of healing is through Jesus spiritually. And so we'll address to them any stage of their healing that it's the whole body. It is the mind, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, and we want them to be, and it opens that door. So we're just meeting them where they are, but we're being honest with them. And that's why I feel so strongly about our helpline coaches having a healing story, because then they can, the caller may say, well, how did you get through it? And they're able to truthfully say, I'm a woman of faith, and this is what the journey was that I do. Or we can co say, I mean, I've told callers that are considering abortion that I've talked to hundreds of women who were pregnant and decided to have their child, and they never regretted it. They never called me and regretted it. They talked to me and said, I don't know what I was thinking wanting to abort this baby. Is it hard? Sure, it's hard. She's a single mom and it's not a bed of roses, but she's thankful she had that baby. And so, but I answer the phone every single day of women regretting their abortion and crying and wishing they hadn't done it. So we'll even, depending on the woman, go that deep in to explaining to what the reality is.
That's good. Okay, so real quick, Terry, how is the helpline useful for abortion recovery leaders, group leaders? How are we useful together?
Well, because we're national and we get a lot of these women through Google, we look up abortion recovery resources by zip code. And so, the pregnancy centers have a hard time too. Well, what if I send them to you? I lost somebody. Well, no, we want to connect them and we can be partners in this, that you can build that relationship and have the trust relationship that we're going to send these ladies to your ministries. If we know about them, we're going to send them if we get them in that zip code area, because the ministries are needed. And as you are both leaders and know the duration and the journey of the ministries, you know that you can't do it all either. And we're out there triaging and going back to the 911 again. And we can't help them if we don't know where to send them. But we're going to send them to the professionals that can walk them through that journey of healing.
And speak to us about how important it is to, once you refer someone to us, to be able to get right back to them.
Super important. It took everything they had to look up on the internet to find help to call us the first time. And so we are trying to connect with them as quickly as we can to build that trust relationship. And you can do it over the phone and through the text. I've been surprised at how we are able to build that trust. And so when we build that trust and they say, yes, I will go and I will do whatever you suggest, and they call the numbers that we give them, or they go on the website and fill out a form. And then we call them in 3 or 4 days, and they'll say, well, I'm still waiting on a phone call. Well, I hadn't heard from anybody. Well, that'll get me on a soapbox. That's my soapbox. Because they don't, it's taken all their strength to do those two steps, to call us and take the second one. And that's what we have to do, is encourage them to take the next step and validate their feelings and validate how well they're doing through the grieving process.
And many of us are doing groups that maybe we have one starting twice a year. So how should we respond in the meantime if it's going to be, another month or two before we have a group starting? How would you recommend that we follow up with these calls?
Well, I know there's several different ways, several different ministries are doing things, and I think it's just a prayer, praying individually what works. But I know some ministries have a telephone group where they stay in touch as a group and let them call in once a week, once a month, whatever that looks like, to start building relationships. So when it is time for that study to start, they're already starting to bond. Some of them have a private Facebook group where they can go in. I know there's a big Facebook group called I Regret My Abortion, and yet that's good, but I'm talking about the individual ministry starting a Facebook group and say, this is what's going on, and this is how, they felt, and this is what you have to look forward to. So just starting to build that relationship. If you have a simple study that you can take them to, because they can't go very deep in their emotions. They're just overwhelmed by their emotions. But if you have a simple workbook you can take them through, preparing for the next group where they do the heavy work and the deep work. So there's the ideas are just coming, and they're good ideas. So if you hear of any, keep passing them to me too.
No kidding. Well, Terry, I just want to thank you for your time for coming on. I know how busy you are. You're a busy Texas lady, and you got a lot of responsibilities on going on over there. But I want to first say, anybody who's listening who is actively working your abortion recovery ministry, you are answering emails or phone calls within 24 hours, 48 hours of receiving that. You call Terry, get in touch with her through the HD helpline, and I'll have her information in the show notes and get listed on the state page so that they can refer you if you are in their local area, especially if you're doing virtual as well. Also, if you are interested in being a helpline coach, contact Terry and find out how to get the training and find out how to do more. And I will tell you that just from my own experience, working with Terry was fabulous. She is a good trainer and they have a good training program, and you will be well taken care of as a coach and well trained. You won't just be left out there to do it. So anyway, and it's a good coaching family. The H3 Helpline is a good family to belong to. So, Terry,
Well,
thank you so
thank you
much for
for
your
that.
time.
Thank you for your time. I love, as you can tell, getting the word out,
Yes, you
sharing the
do.
word. So
Yes.
thank you for having me.
You're welcome.